Okay, we're beginning here with a quick review of what we left off with at the end of Mem Bet Amud Bet. There we saw Machlok between Rav and Shmuel as to who to paskin like in the Mishnah. Rav believed that the locha was like Rabbi Gamliel, both by deer v'sohar, which is when a person is displaced from their tchum and ends up in a corral that has fencing around it. In that instance, it's considered as if it is Dalet Amot, and therefore he can walk the whole area, according to Rabbi Gamliel, and the locha is like him in that matter. Usfina, which we didn't really know from the Mishnah whether they argued on this matter, but we're going to see in the Gemara that they do. When a person's on a boat, according to Rabbi Gamliel, the entire boat is considered like Dalet Amot, and the person can walk all over the boat as if he's in the tchum. Ushmol Amar, Hilchatak Rabbi Gamliel b'sfina, with regards to a boat, you are correct. The locha is like Rabban Gamliel, and you can walk the entire boat as if it is Dalet Amot. Aval b'dir v'sohar, lo. But when it comes to being displaced from the tchum and ending up in a dir v'sohar that has enclosure around it, there you do not consider like Dalet Amot, and there you only have Dalet Amot, and you can only move around those Dalet Amot. So Gemara says, the kuli amma mihat, halacha k'Rabban Gamliel b'sfina. Both Rav and Shmuel agree that the locha is like Rabban Gamliel with the sfina, my taima. What's the reasoning behind that? Why would you differentiate between sfina and dir v'sohar? What's the difference between these two cases that would make you say the halacha is like him in one instance and for Shmuel not like him in the other instance? According to Rav, the halacha is like him in both of those instances. So Amar Rabba makes the suggestion, hol b'shavad b'avir mechitzot mibod yom. The big difference is that a boat, he's already in the mechitzot when Shabbat came in. So the person is doing his shvita at the moment Shabbat began inside of a walled area, which is the walls of the boat, and therefore he gains the full four amot, as opposed to dir v'sohar, where the person was displaced in the middle of Shabbat and then ends up in these mechitzot, but these mechitzot weren't around him coming into Shabbat, and therefore it's not considered to be a makom shvita of Dalet Amot. And that is the distinction. And then Rabbi Zera Amar Hov Sfina Notolto Mitchilat Arba Umenachto B'Sof Arba. We saw yesterday that Rashi had three different possibilities as to what this meant. We'll go with what Rashi says is the Ikar, which is every time a person takes a step on a boat, the boat is in constant motion. And since the boat is in constant motion, it's as if he's always being pushed out of his tchum, and then he gets a new Dalet Amot because he's getting thrown out of his tchum on a constant basis. My Benayu, what's the nafgamina between Rabba and Rabbi Zera? Ikimanayu She Nifchitu Dofne Asfina. If the walls of the boat were diminished, meaning that there weren't significant walls around the boat, and therefore, according to Rabba, you don't have mechitzot over here, and then you can't consider it like Dalet Amot. According to Rabbi Zera, you have the same din. The person's always being continuously displaced from his tchum because the boat is in constant motion. Inami bekofeitz misfina lesfina, or if you jump boats. According to Rabba, the reason that you can carry in this boat as if it's Dalet Amot is because you started the Shabbat inside these mechitzot. If you jump onto another boat, then you're no different than a deer v'sohar. Now for Rabbi Zera, the whole concept is that your boats are in continuous motion. So if you go from one boat to the other boat, the boat is also in continuous motion, as if you're always leaving the tchum, and you get a new Dalet Amot every time you take a step. So now the Gemara says, V'Rabbi Zera, my time alo amar k'Rabba. Why doesn't Rabbi Zera subscribe to Rabba's position that the mechitzot are significant? So Rabbi Zera will say, the mechitzot here are not for the purpose of the enclosure of that which is inside the boat, rather to deflect the water from coming into the boat. So these mechitzot are not made to surround the area internally, and therefore they'd be considered mechitzot where the shvita inside of them is relating to those mechitzot. Mechitzot are really for the outer side, which is that they deflect the water from coming onto the boat, and therefore they're not considered to be mechitzot in terms of shvita, in terms of establishing it as if it is Dalet Amot. And as Tosafot points out on the previous Amud, that might also be the reasoning that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva argue on Rabbi Gamliel with regards to a boat. Because the fact that we say the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel means that they argue in that case. Why do they argue? So Tosafot makes the suggestion that they hold like this position of Rabbi Zera, that the mechitzot are not real mechitzot. And since they aren't mechitzot, they do not believe that you have Dalet Amot. They also don't subscribe to Rabbi Zera's position that the boat in motion gives you a new Dalet Amot every moment. And therefore they believe you can't move any more than Dalet Amot from wherever your Shvita was when Shabbat came in on the boat. Rabba, my time alone, mark Rabbi Zera. Why doesn't Rabba hold like Rabbi Zera's position? So Gemara says, wait, maybe he does hold like Rabbi Zera's position. But I just would say now, the Gemara is rejecting everything we said before with regards to the nafgaminot between Rabba and Rabbi Zera. We no longer are thinking that the difference between them is whether it has mechitzot, or whether you jump from boat to boat. Because over here, Rabba's actually going to agree with Rabbi Zera in certain instances, which is that bim halechet, if the boat is in motion, kuliyama lo plige, nobody argues. That means not Rabbi Gamliel, not Rabbi Yoshua, not Rabbi Akiva. Everyone agrees that it is considered to be an area that you can carry as much as you want because the boat is in motion. And since it's in motion, you're displaced from your tchum every moment, and you get a new Da'at Amot at every moment. So when the boat is in motion, everybody agrees, not just Rabba agrees to Rabbi Zeira, but even in the Mishnah, the Tanaim agree. Ki plige b'she'amdo. Where they argue is when the boat is stationary. When the boat is stationary, then Rabbi Gamliel believes you still get Dalet Amot, and that's because of what Rabba said before, the Mechitzot, you were Shoveit inside the Mechitzot. And with regards to Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, we're going to say, like we just said before, one possibility, and we'll discuss another possibility later, is that the Mechitzot are made to have Riach HaMayim, and therefore they're not considered a Mechitzot when you're inside the boat that would have influence over be considering or classified as Dalet Amot for Tchumin. So Amar Rav Nachman by Yisak Matnita Nami Deka. Our Mishnah is Meduyak that that's the case. Dimelechet lo plige. That they're not arguing about when a boat is in motion. Imai, how does he know that? Migditani, because the situation in our Mishnah is Masish bo mit plunder asin. There was the case in the Mishnah where they were traveling from this location, Vifligas vinatam bayam. And then it got pushed out to sea. They got lost out at sea and they were far pushed out of their tchum. Walked it as if they had the entire area was considered to be Da'at Amot. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva lo zazu mi arba amot. They didn't leave their four amot because they were displaced from the tchum. Shiratzu lahachmir latzman, because they wanted to be stringent with regards to themselves. Iyamart, if you consider it that bishlama b'malechet lo plige, that they don't argue by the case of malechet when the boat is in motion, that even Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua agree there that the boat is classified as da'at amot for you, because of the reasoning of Rabbi Zeira that you're always being pushed out of your tchum by onus, and therefore you get da'at amot each time. Hainu diktani, that's why it says about them, ratzu, they decided to be stringent. Dilma amda. They were choshesh that maybe the boat was stationary at some point, or the boat stopped moving without their noticing. Therefore, they wanted to be machmir on themselves to consider it as if it was stationary, even though it was moving. Eliyah Amar Plige, but if you say they also argue by the case of Malechet, Hai Ratzu Lachmir, then what does it mean that they wanted to be stringent? Isurohu, it's an Isur. So what do you mean they wanted to? They would have to make it that it's Da'at Amot, because according to their opinion, it is not considered to be one big area of Da'at Amot, and therefore they'd have to stay in their Da'at Amot. If it's an Isur, you don't say we wanted to, or they were stringent, that's Mi'ikar HaDin, that it's an Isur. The fact that they say they wanted to, or they opted into doing it, shows you that they really believed Mi'ikar HaDin, that you were allowed to walk on the boat. And so the way that we can explain that is by saying that when the boat is in motion, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, everybody believes in that case, like Rabbi Zeira, that because it's moving, you're always being displaced from your tchum, and therefore you can walk a new Da'at Amot every moment, and that's why it's mutar. In the case of Amda, when the boat is stationary, then they do have a machloket between them. But that means that the boat that they were on was moving. Since it was moving, Me'ikar HaDin, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua believed that you could walk the entire boat. They were machmir on themselves not to walk the boat because maybe it was stationary without them noticing. Maybe it came to a stop at some point without them noticing, and then they'd be locked down to their tchum because of that. And that's why we consider it a stringency, because Me'ikar HaDin, they believed that it was okay to walk. That all makes sense if at least in one instance they agreed to Rabbi Gamliel. And that all works according to Rabba's explanation. The Baalei Tosafot point out that according to Rabbi Zeira, you would have to say over here that Ratzu Lachmir doesn't mean that they wanted to be stringent. Rather, they wanted to be stringent vis-a-vis what Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah did. They were stringent in that situation like their own position. Not that Ratzu as if they opted in to be stringent. That's one way that Tosafot explains it. Inami, Rabbi Zeira believes that there's no concept of tchumim above 10 tfachim, which is going to be in the continuation of the Gemara. Because he doesn't believe there's tchumim above 10 tfachim, then Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua stayed stationary in their Da'at Amot. It was a chumra because there's no concept of tchumim up there. And they wanted to be machmir because of the possibility that it was below 10 tfachim, as we're going to see in the upcoming Gemara. Now, Amar Rav Ashi, Matnita Nami Deka. Rav Ashi here makes an interesting comment. He says, in our Mishnah, it's also Meduyak, Tiktani Sfina, Dumia de Dir Vesohar, that it mentions the case of Sfina, which should be similar or parallel to the case of the corral. Ma Dir Vesohar Tkvi, the Dir and Sohar, which are stationary objects, a person is brought into them, they don't move. Av Sfina, so to the case of the boat in the Mishnah, Nami de Kviya, is a case where it's omitted. And therefore the machalok between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Gamliel in the Mishnah revolves around a boat that is similar to a deer visohar. And the only boat that, if you parallel the boat to a deer visohar, you compare the cases, that would only be true if the boat was stationary, just like a deer visohar is stationary. Problem with Rav Ashi's statement, and it's a very difficult statement, is that the boat only appears once in the Mishnah. And the case that the boat appears in the Mishnah is the case where they got lost out at sea. And we just said before that that's definitely the case of Malechet. That's a case where the boat is continuously moving, because even Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yoshua agreed in that case that you could move around the boat, and they were just being machmir on themselves. So there, where in the Mishnah is Rav Ashi saying that there's a svina, dumia de deer v'sohar? So the Rashash explains over here that Rabba's position in the Mishnah is based on the fact that they argue, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva, with regards to a case of a svina omedet. Now, if they argue by a case of a svina omedet, then the whole case by svina mehalechet makes sense. Rabbi Gamliel, by a svina mehalechet, doesn't worry about the fact that maybe the boat stopped, because even if the boat stopped, Rabbi Gamliel believes that it would be mutar to walk the entire area of the boat as if it is Dalet Amot. And so therefore, when he is on a boat that's Malechet, there's no reason to make a Gzeira or be Machmir. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yoshua, who believe that when the boat is stationary, it is problematic, and you only get Dalet Amot, we don't look at the whole boat as if it's Dalet Amot, then by Malechet, there's reason to be Machmir and say, maybe the boat stopped. Because if the boat stopped, we would think it was a sur. So the diok is the fact that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva argue with regards to a svina. We know that they agree by a svina malechet because they're only being machmir by the case of svina malechet. That means that the other case, or the reason for them being machmir by svina malechet, has to do with a svina that is omedet. And that svina should be similar to the case of deer v'sohar. Since it's Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva arguing in both cases, then that case where they argue by Sfina should parallel the case by Deir V'Sohar. And just like Deir V'Sohar, it's a stationary object, so too the boat that they are arguing about is a stationary boat, even though that boat is never mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah. It's implicit in the Mishnah because in the case where their Machmir, which was a moving boat, implies that they obviously believe by a stationary boat that it is problematic, and that then gives us insight into the fact that they argue by a stationary boat, and that stationary boat has to be similar to the deer v'sohar because it's the same machloket. So Amale Rav Acha Brei de Rava le Rav Ashi. So then Rav Acha Brei de Rava says Rav Ashi Hilchoto. The fact that Rav and Shmuel before said Hilchoto Rav Gamliel b'sfina, that the halacha is like Rav Gamliel b'sfina, Hilchoto Michlal de Plige. It sounds like if you say the halacha is that way, that means that somebody argues on that. Now again, in our Mishnah, we have no indication of an argument between the position of Rabbi Gamliel with Sfina and anyone else. We know that they were machmir with regards to a case of Sfina, but we don't see any machloket. And Rav Ashi answers him and says, "In there is a machloket between them, and that's why they have to paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. V'atanya, and we have a breita that is supportive of this contention that they argue. Chananya, the girsa that we have in our Gemara says, Ben Achi Rabbi Yoshua, the nephew of Rabbi Yoshua. The Bach takes it out of the girsa, but the truth is that Rashi says he was his nephew, and we'll see that in a second. Omer, kol oto yom yashvu v'danu b'dvar halacha. All that day they sat and they contemplated this issue, the machloket between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Gamliel. Emesh, at that nightfall, Yichriya Achi Abba, my father's brother, meaning my uncle, Rabbi Yoshua, decided at that point, halacha like Rabbi Gamliel b'sfina, that the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel b'sfina. The implications are that they did argue, and that's what the Braita is saying. Since Rabbi Yeshua, in the end, was machria like Rabbi Gamliel against Rabbi Akiva, that shows you that there was a machloka between them. And that's why Rav and Shmuel have to say, hilchotoki Rabbi Gamliel b'sfina, because there is a dissenting opinion. That dissenting opinion is Rabbi Akiva with regards to sfina. And they're coming along to say that the locha is like Rabban Gamliel with regards to a svina. The locha to Rabbi Akiva by Deir V'Sohar. On the other hand, by Deir V'Sohar, the locha is like Rabbi Akiva. It makes it sound like the position of Shmuel that we saw before, that the locha is like Rabban Gamliel by svina, but by Deir V'Sohar, it is not like that. Now, the Rabbeinu Chananel says, based on that, that the locha is like Shmuel. You have Shmuel versus Rav, and even though generally when you have a machloket Rav and Shmuel be isurei with regards to isurim, the halacha is like Rav and not like Shmuel. Nevertheless, in this case, the halacha is like Shmuel because you have a braita over here that is supportive of Shmuel's contention. The braita says that Rabbi Yeshua in the end paskin the same way that Shmuel paskin, which is the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel by Sfina, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva by Deir V'Sohar. The Baal Yatosafot quote the Rabbeinu Chananel, and they suggest that that is not the case here, They say that the halacha is like Rav, because again, Rav and Shmuel, with regards to Yisurei, the halacha is like Rav. And the Braita itself is not a hachra, is not a decision. First of all, because you don't use a Braita as a means of psak or decisiveness between different opinions. Number two is you have a problem here because Rabbi Yeshua, who is the machri on the Braita, is one of the Balei Dovar in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah it says that on one side you have Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua, and on the other side you have Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That means that Rabbi Yeshua is one of the people that is arguing in this case. And now you bring me a Braita that Rabbi Yeshua is a decisor in this case. That can't be. You can't be a machria if you're one of the Balei Dovar, if you're one of the people involved in the machloket. So for those two reasons, the Balei Tosafot said this Braita is not normative, because number one, it's a Braita, and we don't have hachra through a Braita. And number two is, the person who's being machria in the Braita is one of the people that argues in the Mishnah, and therefore it's not determinant because of that. Then Tosafot discusses when it is permissible to get onto a boat that you know is going to travel on Shabbat, and you know is also going to travel outside the Tchum on Shabbat. From the Gemara in Shabbat, it says that you're not allowed to get on a boat unless there are 3 days until Shabbat. If you're already on the boat for 3 days coming into Shabbat, then we let you stay on the boat even for Shabbat. You can travel even on Shabbat. But anytime closer to the Shabbat, you can't do that. So part of that has to do with the influence of Shabbat over the previous week. That means that up until Tuesday is connected to the previous Shabbat. From Wednesday and onward is connected to the new Shabbat. So therefore, you have to get on the boat at least 3 days beforehand in order that you are already at the beginning of the week and you're way ahead of Shabbat. There are a number of reasons for that, one of which is that we want you to get used to being on the boat so you're not sick on Shabbat, don't have problems of motion sickness or seasickness. Tosafot over here claims the other issue is that it's Beit Shammai, who say that you're not allowed to do malacha on Erev Shabbat unless you can finish it before Shabbat. So therefore, unless you're traveling much earlier, they're not going to let you do that. Whereas Beit Hillel thinks that you can do that. And according to Beit Hillel, the way that Tosafot reads the Braita of this machloket in the Yerushalmi suggests that Beit Hillel argues that you can even get on the boat a little before Shabbat. You can hop on a boat, no problem, even though you know the boat's going to travel on Shabbat, and even though the boat is going to go outside the Tchum on Shabbat. The Rashbam then goes ahead and says, not only can you do that on Erev Shabbat, you can actually get on the boat on Shabbat itself, because you're not doing anything. You're just getting on the boat, and then the Nachri, who's running the boat and sailing the boat, has nothing to do with you, and you can just sit there passively, and it's not a problem. Now, you won't be able to walk on the entire boat because you weren't shoveit inside the Mechitzot before Shabbat. Nevertheless, you will have Dalet Amot, and you can stay on the boat. Tosafot rejects that and says, we find other places in the Gemara and Shabbat that's clear that you cannot lechatchila get on a boat on Shabbat, either because, as the Ritzbah suggests over here, it's dami l'shat benar, it's like floating down a river where we're afraid you're going to make a raft or you're going to do some sort of malacha when you're in the water, when you're swimming in the water. So that also applies to being on a boat. Or we're afraid that maybe you have to take over the steering of the boat or the sailing of the boat, and then you will be your malacha on Shabbat. And then the Ri adds on that there were people who were trying to circumvent this problem of getting on the boat on Shabbat. But they used to hop on the boat on Friday night, light candles there, and make their meal on Friday night on the boat. And then the boat would leave on Shabbat. And so they say we were on the boat before Shabbat, so it wasn't a problem, even though it never set sail before Shabbat. And the Ri says that doesn't work, because in the end, you are setting sail on Shabbat. Although he does disagree with the Rashbam, who says that if you get on the boat on Shabbat, you only have Dalet Amot. He says that that's not the case, because we pass them like Rav, according to the Balei Tosafot, as we noted before. And Rav says that Alocha is like Rabbi Gamliel, both by Sfina and Dir V'Sohar. That means that even if you weren't inside the Mechitzot before Shabbat, and you only got thrown into them in the middle of Shabbat, nevertheless, you still have the right to move around that entire area as if it is Dalet Amot. And then the Rashbam wanted to bring another kula, which is not only can you get on a boat on Shabbat, that you can even get into a wagon that's being driven by a Nachri on Shabbat, because you're not doing anything. In the end, he retracted that psak because he says, Shema yifku bolistim, or Shema yishkach v'yirid. Problem is that maybe you'll be robbed along the way, and the robbers or the marauders will force you out of the wagon. If you step outside the wagon, then you'll be stuck in the Dalet Amot when you hop off this wagon. And then the Ri argues on the Rashbam and says, not only can you not get into a wagon on Shabbat, you can't even get into a wagon on Erev Shabbat. That heter to get onto a boat on Erev Shabbat is only by a boat. Because by a wagon, you can get off the wagon in the middle of Shabbat. On the other hand, by a boat, once you're on the boat, you can't get off the boat on Shabbat because you're out at sea. So there's a big difference between a Sfina, where we let you get on an Erev Shabbat, because once you're on Shabbat, you're not going anywhere, you're staying on the boat. And that's why we permit you to get on an Erev Shabbat. By a wagon, if you get on Erev Shabbat, you can get off on Shabbat, and therefore there's no permission even to get on Erev Shabbat and to continue riding straight into Shabbat. And then he says, by a boat, even if they dock while you're on the boat on Shabbat, and you didn't know about that, you don't have to get off the boat. They don't insist that you get off the boat. You can remain on the boat because the Chachamim did not differentiate between boats. Once they said it's mutter to get on a boat, doesn't matter if the boat is out at sea or the boat ended up docking. You can stay on the boat because boats are okay as long as you got on an Erev Shabbat. In addition, he says another problem with the wagon is the fact that if it's being driven by animals, then you have a problem that maybe Shema Yachtof Zmora, maybe you'll break off a branch to be a goad for the animals or to prod them along. And therefore, that's also another Isur on Shabbat that we might worry about if you're in a wagon on Shabbat. So the Re dismisses this Kula of the Rashi, even though the Rashi backed away from it. The Re dismisses it out of hand and then adds on top of that, you can't even get into a wagon on Erev Shabbat. But he does agree by a boat that you can get on an Erev Shabbat, and you're not forced to get off, even if the boat docks during Shabbat. So just in summary, the machlok between Rabba and Rabbi Zeira, with regards to a deer v'sohar, with regards to a corral that is enclosed, and you were brought in or displaced into it outside your tchum on Shabbat, according to Rabba, there's a machlok between Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, versus Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say that the whole area is considered like four amot, even though you weren't there when the Shabbat started, but because you were thrown out of your tchum against your will, and you would only have dalet amot, they were makil in this case to give you the full area as if it is dalet amot. And Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva disagree. Since you weren't there coming into Shabbat, you don't get the benefit of the walls that are around you. And Rabbi Zera believes that that same machloket exists by Deir V'Sohar. By Sfina, according to Rabba, if the Sfina is moving, then the Chulei Alma Meikar Din, you can walk the entire boat. Just that Rabbi Akiva was Machmir because maybe the boat stopped at some point, and therefore he was Machmir to only walk the four Amot on the boat. But otherwise, Meikar Din, everybody agrees that the boat's in motion, that you have a right to walk the entire boat as if it is Dalet Amot. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Zeira, who said that this is the distinction between them in the first place, Mehalechet, which is that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah believe that you can walk the entire boat because the boat is moving. That was the whole concept was brought up by Rabbi Zeira. On the other hand, Rabbi Zeira believes that Rabbi Akiva argues even by Mehalechet, and he says that it doesn't work either because he doesn't subscribe to this idea that you're always being displaced from your tchum, or because as we saw in the Balei Tosafot, that the walls and the mechitzot are not made for the internal area, but for the external area, and therefore Rabbi Zeira believes that machloket persists even by mehalechet. Or another possibility is based on the Gemara in Bava Metzia, on Daf Temen Bet, where there's an argument as to when something's floating on the water, like a boat, what is moving? Is it the boat that is moving, or is it the waters that are moving? Do we consider the boat to be stationary, and the waters are doing the movement, or do we consider the boat to be in motion? And that would lead to the Nafkamina, according to Rabbi Zeira, if the boat's in motion, that has implications that you're being thrown out of your tchum all the time, and you're getting a new Dalet Amot. If you think the boat is stationary, and it's the water that's moving, then the boat is always in the same place in your same Dalet Amot, and that's why you can't walk the entire boat. So that would be possibly another way to explain the machloket between them, which is that Rabbi Gamliel believes that the boat is in motion, and since the boat's in motion, you're always getting reset to your Dalet Amot. As Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua believe, the boat is considered to be as if it's stationary on the water, and it's the water that's moving the boat. If that's the case, then the boat is always in the same Dalet Amot, technically, and then you're not getting a new reset on your tchum every time you walk, and then you're going to be stuck in your Dalet Amot. Now, by Svina Omedet, according to Rabbi Zeira, according to everyone, you only have Dalet Amot to walk around, because, as we saw, Rabbi Zeira believes, unlike Rabba, that the walls are not mechitzot, they're l'avriach et amayim. If there are no mechitzot here, when the boat is stationary, you don't have his logic that the boat is displacing you all the time. You don't have mechitzot. That means that according to everyone, you can't walk around the boat, and you're limited to four amot on the boat. On the other hand, according to Rabba, this is where the machloket is between Rabbi Akiva and Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel, in the case of Omedet, believes that you can walk the entire boat as if it is Dalet Amot, and that's because it has mechitzot. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva believes that you cannot walk the entire boat, even if you were there before the day started, even if you were there before Shabbat started. According to Tosafot, the reason being is because he believes that mechitzot are v'riach hamayim, and there aren't real mechitzot over here. According to other Rishonim, like the Rashba and the Ritva, when you get on the boat, you get on the boat with the intent to leave the tchum, and once you leave the tchum, then the original area that you were in is lost, like Rabbi Akiva's position by Dir V'Sohar. When someone displaces you into a Dir V'Sohar somewhere else, you don't get more than Dalet Amot. And the boat is no different than that. You got on knowing that you're going to be pushed out of the Tchum. And since you're going to be pushed out of the Tchum, it's as if you were displaced or with the intention of being displaced from the original place that you were Shovet. And given that, you only get Dalet Amot. Rabbi Gamliel V'Shitato says that being displaced gives you more than Dalet Amot as long as you have Mechitzot around you. And so therefore, according to the Rashi and the Ritva, Rabbi Gamliel is the Shitato. And Rashi and the Mishnah sounds this way as well, that it's the Shitato, that because like by Dir V'Sohar, when you're displaced, you get the full area as if it is Dalet Amot. So too in the boat, when you're displaced, you get the whole area as if it is Dalet Amot. On the other hand, for the Baya Tosafot, the distinction is not Rabbi Gamliel the Shitato, rather, it's a different machloket. It's a machloket as to whether the walls of the boat are considered to be mechitzot or not. According to Rabbi Gamliel, they are good mechitzot. And according to Rabbi Akiva, they aren't good mechitzot. And that's the machloket according to the Baal Tosafot within Svina Omedet, according to Rabbo. So now the Gemara asks, by Rabbi Chananya, yesh tchumim namalam yasara? Is there a din of tchum Shabbat above 10 tfachim? Or ain't tchumim namalam yasara? Or is there no tchum above 10 tfachim? Amud gavo asara. If you have some sort of pillar that's 10 tfachim tall, berachov arba, and it's 4 tfachim wide, which makes it into a real reshut up on the top, loti bailach, there you don't have a question, the aras michotahi. That's considered to be easily traversed area, a place where you can walk. Therefore, if the tchum ends in the middle of this pillar, you can't walk from one side of the pillar to the other side of the pillar. Kiti bailach, the question is, bamud gvoa asara, when you have a pillar that's 10 tvachim high, ve'inu rochav arba, and it's not 4 tvachim wide, there's not 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim a space at the top, so it's not easily walked upon, it's a very small area. In that case, do we consider there to be tchum up there, and you can't walk the entire top of the pillar, and you have to stop wherever the tchum stops, or it doesn't matter because it's such a small area, it's not considered to be part and parcel of the tchum because it's above 10 tvachim. Inami deka'ayo bekfitza, and he moves around by jumping. The question of what that means, whether that means simply that he jumps past the area where the tchum ends above 10 tvachim, and since he's above 10 tvachim when he crossed over and he did it with permission because he did it in a way that's okay, then when he gets to the other side, he has the ability then to move around as if he left with permission or left the tchum in a way that was mutar, or the possibility that he's levitating using the Shem Hashem, and that brings him above the 10th Fachim, and then he's trying to move around above 10th Fachim, even outside the Tchum, and Tchum doesn't matter up there. That's one way to pose the question. Lishna Achrina, another way to pose the question, the Girs of Rashi doesn't seem to see he has Lishna Achrina, the Svina Mai. What's the din with a boat? A boat seems to be above 10 tfachim, so it seems to be the exact same question. When you're on a boat, as Rashi says, you are minastam above 10 tfachim because the water keeps you more than 10 tfachim off the ground, and it's as if you're being kofetz, it's as if you're being floating on top of the area that's a tchum. So what's the din there? It's Amar Rav Hoshaya, Tashma, what about our Mishnah? Ma'aseh shebal miplan drasin, v'ifliga sfinatam b'yam, the case of the boats in our Mishnah. If you say there is tchum above 10 tfachim, shum hachi ratzu, over there that makes sense why Rabbi Akiva wanted to be machmir. If you say there's no tchumim above 10 tfachim, amai ratzu, why would they ever want to be machmir on themselves? It's not relevant. They didn't leave the tchum, according to this thesis, that there's no tchumim above 10 tfachim. So that shows you it must be there are tchumim above 10 tfachim, and therefore all these machlokot are relevant, and that's why they want to be ratzu, that's why they want it to be stringent. Kedamar Rava, the Gemara says, no, that's like what Rava says in the next part of the Mishnah, which we're going to see in 1 second. Mamalechet berakak, it's a case where the boat is in a area where it's in the sediment, it's at the delta of the river where the water is very shallow, and therefore it's within 10 tfachim of the ground. Hachanami, so too in our case, it's a case of Malechet Barakak. And where did he say it the first time? Tashma, Pamachat, Lo Nichnasu La Namal Ad Shecha Shecha, the safe of the Mishnah where they didn't come into the port until it was after dark. And Rabbi Gamliel says, don't worry, we were inside the Tchum already, and Tosafot says that's as long as they identified something on the coastline where they made their Shvita coming into Shabbat. If you say there are Tchumim above 10 Tfachim, Shapir, then it makes sense that they were worried about not being able to disembark from the boat when they got to the city. If there's no Tchumim above 10 Tfachim, when they weren't inside the Tchum, what does it matter? As soon as they got to the shoreline, they would be like the people of the city, because that's the first time they were inside somewhere that it would have been considered a Tchum for them. Prior to that point in time, they weren't inside of a Tchum, or they weren't governed by Tchumim. So then why was it even an issue? Shows you that it must be that above 10 Tfachim, there is Tchum. So Amar Rava, this is where Rava's original statement was made, B'malech Ibrakak. That case there was a case where they were in very shallow waters, and therefore they were within 10 Tfachim of the ground. And just like he says it here, by the case of the Namal, by the port, and when they came in, he also, the Gemara now applies it to the ratio of the Mishnah, in the case where they got to sea, and they were outside their Tchum, that was also in a case where there's Rakak. So Tashma, the Gemara tries to bring another proof with regards to whether they're Tchumim above 10 Tfachim, which is Hani Shev Shmaitata, these seven Memrot, or these seven Hatgalachot, Zit Amran B'Tzafro B'Shabto, on the morning of the day of Shabbat, they were said, Kamei, the Rav Chista B'Sura, a person brought that Mesora to Rav Chista in Surah on the morning of Shabbat, Parepanya D'Shabto, on that same Shabbat afternoon, it was brought, Kamei D'Rabo B'Pumpadita, ended up the same Bala Memra gave over this information to Rabba in Pumpadita. So the problem is that Surah and Pumpadita are a minimum of about 100 kilometers away from each other, so nobody could travel that distance on Shabbat itself. So the only way they could have moved between these two areas is if they did it up in the air. They did a kfitza or some sort of transportation that was not on the ground or not done by foot. And the question is, who did that? So Manam Rinho, who is the one who brought this memra? Lav Eliyahu Amrinu, must have been Eliyahu Navi, because first of all, he's the only one that shows up in the Beit Midrash bringing things when we don't know this person beforehand and just shows up and brings the information. And number two is, he's a type of person, what we know, that floats around and moves around in miraculous manners, and so to over here, he could have moved above 10 Tfachim, and the assumption would be, Amayin Tchumim L'mal Me'asara, that there is no Tchum above 10 Tfachim because of the fact that he was able to transport himself on Shabbat from an area that was more than 100 kilometers away, and that shows you that there is no problem of Tchum above 10 Tfachim on Shabbat. And again, whether this really literally means that it's Eliyahu Navi, as the Chatam Sofer says, that Eliyahu Navi appears in different manifestations. If he appears as a malach, then we say about things that Eliyahu Navi brings, Lo B'Shamayim Hi, and he can't be a part of the Mesorah. Or whether Eliyahu appears as a regular ish, regular person, then he's able to be a part of the Mesorah, because then we don't classify it as being B'Shamayim Hi. So the assumption being here is that it was Eliyahu Navi, but he just appeared as a regular individual. Since he appeared as a regular individual and part of the Mesorah, and therefore he was chayav to keep Shabbat, if he's chayav to keep Shabbat, the only way that could have worked is if they're above 10 Tfachim, is not a Tchum Shabbat. On the other hand, the Meiri says two things over here. First of all, he says the Shev Shmaitata is from a Gemara in Chulin on Daf Mem Bet Amud Aleph, where the Gemara there has seven Shmuot with regards to Trefot, and he says that's cross-referencing to that Gemara in Chulin. And number two is, he says it wasn't literally Eliyahu Navi, but somebody like Eliyahu Navi was a Magid of some sort, but the fact that he moved very fast from one area to the other way, or could float around or disappear, that's like Eliyahu Navi, and they just use it as a paradigmatic name for individuals who move around in this type of fashion or miraculous manner. So Gemara says, lo, Dilma Yosef Shida Amrinu. Maybe it was Yosef, as Rashi says, the shade that did that. Whether Yosef Shida was a person who trafficked in Shadim, or whether Yosef Shida is the name of a shade, is not clear here. But either way, we're talking about somebody what seems to be not governed by the rules of Shabbat. As Rashi says, the Shadim lo mintara Shabbat, they don't keep Shabbat. Now, why he was bringing a Mesorah to the Beit Midrash, if he doesn't keep Shabbat, he doesn't care about Halacha, is an interesting question. But the Gemara says that there are alternatives to Eliyahu Navi, who also can move in miraculous manners, and would not necessarily be governed by the rules of Shabbat, so you can't bring any proof from this. Now, the Gemara tries to bring it proof from a different Braita, Tashma. Harini Nazir, B'Yom Shem Ben David Ba. Person takes a Neder Nizirut, that there will be a Nazir on the day that Ben David, meaning Mashiach, comes. Mutar lishtot yayin b'shabbatot u'b'yomim tovim. And Shabbat and Yom Tov, he doesn't have to worry about Mashiach coming, and he can drink wine on those days. Ve'asur lishtot yayin b'chol yomot chol. On weekdays, he is not permitted to drink the wine, because there's a possibility that Mashiach would come. And as Tosafot points out over here, even though we don't stop Kohanim from drinking wine every day, maybe the Beit HaMikdash will be built and they have to go do Avodah and they'll be disqualified. But Tosafot says, first of all, another Kohen could do the Avodah. That person's not compelled to do the Avodah. Number two is he could go to sleep and work off the drunken state and then be ready for Avodah. But here with regards to Nazirut, he's the person that's going to be the Nazir, and it would be triggered right away, and it would be impactful on him. And so because of that, we have to worry about the fact that Ben David might show up on any one of the weekdays. Now the Gemara says, Iyamar Bishlama Yesh Tchumin. If you say there is Tchumim above 10 Tfachim, Hainut B'Shabbatot V'Yamim Tovim, Mutar. That's why on Shabbat and Yom Tov, we don't have a problem because Ben David can't come on those days because even if he's coming above 10 Tfachim, there's still a problem with Tchum, and he's not going to come out of Tchum on Shabbat or Yom Tov. Ella, Iyamart, ain't Tchumim B'Shabbatot V'Yamim Tovim, Amai Mutar. If you say that there's no Tchumim on Shabbat, why is he Mutar on Shabbat V'Yom Tov? He would be able to travel and show up even on Shabbat and Yom Tov. I say, Shani Hotam Damakra. Over there it's a little different because the Pasuk says, Hinei Anochi Shaleach Lachem Et Eli Yonavi, Hinei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Anora. And that means, as the Gemara is suggesting over here, that Eliyahu HaNavi will come the day before Mashiach ben David in order to announce Mashiach ben David. So Veloat Eliyahu Me'etmo. And since Eliyahu didn't show up on Friday, we know for sure that Ben David was not going to come on that Shabbat or Yom Tov. I says, Yachi B'chol Kol Yom V'Yom Anami Lishtare. That's the case, and on any weekday you should have the same permissibility. Any day that you're there, you should be permitted because the day before Eliyahu HaNavi didn't show up. Talat Eliyahu Me'etmo. Eliyahu didn't come the day before. El Amrinan. So why is it that on a weekday it's a problem? Because LeBeitin HaGadol Ato. We assume that he came to the Beitin HaGadol in Yerushalayim. They just haven't had time to announce it or get the information out there. Since it hasn't been made public, we worry about the fact that he is there, Eliyahu, and you just don't know about it. So Hachanami Lema LeBeitin HaGadol Ato. So then why isn't that same problem on Erev Shabbat? Maybe he showed up on the Beitin HaGadol on Erev Shabbat. We don't know about it. And Ben David or Mashiach's going to come on Shabbat itself. Mar says that's not a problem because Kvar Mutach Lahem Yisrael. There is a commitment to Bnei Yisrael. Shein Eliyahu Ba Lo Be'arvei Shabbatot V'lo Be'arvei Yomim Tovim. Eliyahu Navi will not come on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov Mimei HaTorach. Because the Jews are getting ready for Shabbat, getting ready for Yom Tov, and going to greet Eliyahu Navi would distract them from what they have to do. And so therefore there's a commitment or a promise that Eliyahu Navi will not show up on Erev Shabbat and Yom Tov to disrupt the preparations that they're doing for Shabbat and Yom Tov. So since he can't come on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, that means that Mashiach ben David can't show up on Shabbat or Yom Tov, because Eliyahu will never come on a Friday or an Erev Yom Tov. So the Gemara now says, we assume, that if Eliyahu doesn't show up on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, Mashiach nami loati. So since Eliyahu Avi does not show up on Erev Shabbat, Mashiach also would not show up on Erev Shabbat. That's the case. Every Erev Yom Tov, Erev Shabbat should be mutar for this person to drink wine because Eliyahu and Avi doesn't come then. And if Eliyahu and Avi doesn't come, so Mashiach should also come on that day because he would also disrupt all the preparations the Jews were making and therefore it would be difficult for them as well. So just like we say that Eliyahu doesn't show up on Erev Shabbat or Erev Yom Tov, and that means on Shabbat and Yom Tov, there is no Mashiach ben David. Let us say that Eliyahu doesn't show up on a Thursday, or he's not going to show up on Erev Yom Tov, because that would mean that Mashiach ben David would come on Erev Yom Tov or Erev Shabbat, and he would disrupt everything. And if that's the case, then you don't have to worry about the Neder Nezirut on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov. So Gemara says, Eliyahu lo ati, Mashiach ati. No, there's a difference between them. Eliyahu doesn't come on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, but Mashiach would come. The Kevin da ati, Mishicha kol avadim ein Yisrael. That once Mashiach ben David comes, then the other nations will be put into service for Bnei Yisrael, and they won't have to be Torah anymore. The Torah will be done by someone else for them. So with regards to Eliyahu, you have to worry about him disrupting them because Mashiach's not here yet. Mashiach's not here, then they still have to prepare for Shabbat and Yom Tov, and it's going to be disrupted by Eliyahu Navi. On the other hand, if Eliyahu comes on Thursday, and then Mashiach ben David comes on a Friday, or Erev Yom Tov, we don't worry about that because he's going to press into service the other people to serve Bnei Yisrael in that situation and get them ready for Shabbat and Yom Tov. So even though he's disrupting them, he's going to compensate them by having them have other people do the work for them, and therefore there's no such havtacha that Mashiach ben David won't come on Erev Shabbat or Erev Yom Tov. When it says, B'chad Shabbat Lishtare, on Sunday, or Motzei Yom Tov, he should also be mutar to drink wine, because that means that Eliyahu HaNavi would have to come on Shabbat itself. And if we say that he is Asur on Sunday, that means Eliyahu could come on Shabbat. So, Lifsho Mina. So it sounds from that, the ain't tchumin, that there are no tchumim, because yesh tchumim, if there were tchumim, b'chad Shabbat Lishtare. And even on Sunday, you should be mutar to drink wine, because Mashiach would never come on Sunday, because Eliyahu, d'loat Eliyahu b'Shabbat. Because Eliyahu couldn't come on Shabbat, because it's above, 10 tefachim is still tchum, and he can't come from outside the tchum. Tosfot over here says, why don't we just say that Eliyahu HaNavi showed up on Friday, and he's only going to tell him the news on Shabbat. So he was in town already on Friday, just doesn't tell him the news until Shabbat. Tosfot says that we have a Masorah, that on the day that Eliyahu comes, he's going to give the news. So there's no delay in him giving the news, and therefore it's not going to be that he's going to be there earlier and then giving the news on that day. So that means he has to come outside the Tchum on Shabbat. And if there is Tchum above 10 Tfachim, he wouldn't be able to come. The fact that he can come, and then the Mashiach and the Beit can come on Sunday, shows you that there is no Tchum above 10 Tfachim. Umar says, no, you don't have to say that. Haitana Svuka Misapkele. This Tana doesn't know. Iyesh Tchumim or Ein Tchumim. Whether there is or isn't Tchumim above 10 Tfachim. Udo Chumra. And therefore, he goes the Chumrah, maybe there is no Tchum, and therefore Eliyahu could show up on a Shabbat. If that's the case, then Sunday Mashiach ben David could come, and that's why he's not Matir on Sundays. The Chatam Sofer here asks, how do you know that Eliyahu Navi has to come from outside the Tchum? Maybe it's a fact, or Mashiach ben David has to come outside the Tchum. Maybe they're found here, and they're just going to be revealed. Eliyahu will just reveal himself, or Eliyahu will reveal the person that is Mashiach ben David, who says he has to come from outside the Tchum. So the Chatam Sofer says, Enochanami, it could be that, but part of what the Eliyahu and the Ben David are going to do is Kibbutz Goliot. They're going to bring all either the Talmidei Chachamim together, if it's Eliyahu Navi, or if it's Ben Shiach Ben David, it'll be all of Klal Yisrael to be making it into a public affair. And so since they're going to have to gather people together, they're going to have to bring people from outside the Tchum. It's not necessarily that they're going to come from outside the Tchum, but they're going to have to bring people from outside the Tchum together on those days. And that's what's going to cause the problem. So if there is Tchum above 10 Tfachim, they couldn't do that. If there is no Tchum, then they could do it. And that's the proof that they're trying to bring over here. Gemara in the end says that that Tano is Sfuke Misapkile. He's uncertain as to whether there is or isn't. Everybody's Machmir in all cases to suggest that this person has to worry about being a Nazir because of the possibility that there isn't Tchumim. But that doesn't mean that he definitively believes that there are no Tchumim above 10 Tfachim. So now the Gemara goes back to clarify what exactly is going on with this Neder Nezirut. The Kayemat, the Kanadar. When is this individual taking this Neder Nezirut? Ilem the Kaye Bechol. If he's on a weekday, Kevin the Chalalei Nezirut, once the Nezirut takes effect, because we're Choshesh that something happened now it took effect, Heche Atyo Shabto Umafkale. How come then when he reaches Shabbat, you can say, oh, you can drink wine now, because maybe you're not a Nazir. Once you become a Nazir, you can't unwind it on Shabbat. So if he took the nether on Chol, it would already be in effect, and if it's in effect already, then he can't have it back out on Shabbat. Ella must be the Kaye b'Shabto. The Ka Nadar must be a case where he's taking the nether on Shabbat itself, or b'Yom Tov the Ka Nadar, or he's standing on Yom Tov and taking the nether on that day. Ba'o Yomo d'Sharile. On that day, it's mutar for him to drink wine. On the day that he takes the nether, because we know that Eliyahu didn't come yesterday because of the promise that Eliyahu will not show up on a Friday or an Erev Yom Tov. And therefore we know Mashiach ben David will not show up on that Shabbat or that Yom Tov. So then he's mutar for that day. But from that day forward, he can't drink wine because we're afraid Mashiach came or ben David came and he doesn't know about it yet, or the information hasn't been passed on to him yet. He's already a Nazir. And therefore when he reaches Shabbat, he might be behind the information flow and he can't be matir the nether because his nether might have already taken effect. And that's why he's only mutar on the first day that he takes the nether if it's on a Shabbat or Yom Tov. But if it's not on Shabbat Yom Tov, he's not mutar from the day he takes the neder going forward because it's already possibly taken effect. Now the Gemara is still somewhat difficult because at a certain point he knows that information that he didn't come the day before, 2 days before, 3 days before. And therefore why is he then forced into a position where might be in a neder nezirut if he has clarity of information? So yes, maybe on Friday he doesn't have that information, and so then how could it be mutar and Shabbat and Yom Tov? Maybe that's the way to explain it, because every Friday he has that safek going into Shabbat and Yom Tov. Or the other possibility is the Rabbeinu Tam makes the suggestion that the explanation of the Neder Nezirut that he says on a day that the Ben David ba doesn't mean literally when Ben David comes, but rather on a day that it's ra'oi. where he could come. And since it's a day that he could come, then any day that he could come on would trigger the Neder Nizirut. And then that would explain this Gemara very easily now, which is that once he's taken the Neder Nizirut on a weekday, it goes into effect then. And once it goes into effect, because Ben David could come, then there's no way that he's mutar on the Shabbat and Yom Tov anymore. And then if he takes it on Shabbat and Yom Tov, that's a day that he's not Roi Lavo. And since he's not Roi Lavo, the Neder is displaced for a day. He waits another day. The next day it would go into effect, because that is a day, the Sunday or the Motzei Yom Tov, is a day when Ben David can come, and therefore it would go into effect on that day. And once it's in effect, you can't get out of it, or you can't back out of it. And that also would help explain why we don't worry about the fact that Mashiach ben Yosef is supposed to come before Mashiach ben David. And the fact that Mashiach ben Yosef is not here, well then how can you suggest that Mashiach ben David is here? And so then why is he chayav in the Neder Nizirut, or why can't he drink wine? So the answer would be that it's not saying that ben David came the day that ben David comes, rather a day that he could come. And since it's a day that he could come, that triggers the Neder Nizirut. That would also help us to explain the difference between this Neder Nizirut and the Kohen. Because this Neder Nizirut is not saying that a day when the Mashiach comes. We don't worry about that when he says the day the Mashiach comes. We worry about a case when he says it's a day that Mashiach could come. That's enough of a reason to make him responsible for that Neder Nizirut and have to desist from drinking wine. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots towards the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Bet.